Special coverage from the New Orleans Investment Conference is brought to you by Victoria Gold Corp, leading UConn's new gold rush.
Welcome back to SOAR Financially. Thank you so much for joining us here in New Orleans at the New Orleans Investment Conference. My name is Kai Hoffman, and be at JR Mining Guy on Twitter and the CEO of the SOAR Financial Group. I'm joined by Robert Zinn. You're the CEO Technician, Goldfinger as well. Goldfinger on CEO.ca. And CEO Technician on Twitter.
Yeah.
Fantastic insights. You're a trader, really active in the markets, and I always treasure your insights. Not the first time you're on SOAR Financially, but it's great to catch up. You're an attendee at this conference. Why don't we start with talking about the mood and the sentiment? Like, what have you picked up the last 24 hours here?
Yeah, it's good to be here in the Big Easy, Kai. It's a pleasure to speak to you again. The conference is a little bit less attended than it was last year. But, you know, when I thought about coming here in the market environment that we're in right now in the mining sector, I was thinking maybe the attendance, you know, would be even worse than it is. And it's pretty good, actually. Not too euphoric, for sure. A lot of caution in the air. One speaker on Thursday told the crowd to be skeptical. So it's not a bull market conference, that's for sure.
It was interesting. I spoke to one attendee from Texas who traveled here. And he particularly came to look at the mining stocks and then gold investments because he thinks now is the time to buy, because he sees things developing on the macro side that sort of, I wouldn't say force him, but led him to the decision to come, okay, I need to get positioned.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you've picked up here as well? Sort of that mood sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, as an American, and we're approaching 2024, big election year in this country, and by all accounts, it's going to be very volatile and very passionate. And we don't know what the outcome is going to be, right? And even if it's Biden or Trump or a third person, it's extremely highly uncertain, right? What the policies are going to be. I mean, can you imagine a second Trump term? Can you imagine what that would mean for the world, right? So gold, there's a lot of reasons to have some gold in your portfolio right now. And we see what's happening across the world. Wars, not just one, multiple wars now. Terrorism. And people are not convinced that inflation is beaten here at this conference. There's a lot of talk about how a lot of speakers calling for a rebound in inflation over the next year or so.
Gold as a safe haven investment. Like, looking at the price action, $2,000 today as we speak here, it broke through that barrier again. Like, what is driving that? Is it just fear? Is it geopolitics? Because, like, a lot of the reasons that are also being discussed here, we've been hearing for years,
mm-hmm.
like why gold should be higher, right? But are those really driving it now?
I mean, when you look at positive, you know, real yields, and you look at a dollar that's been fairly strong, and then you see a $2,000 gold price, something does not add up, you know, between those three, right? There's a shift in correlations that's taken place here. And I think a lot of that has to do with central bank buying. They're the big elephant in the room that's gobbling up gold at lower levels and driving it higher. And even when I see the way gold has traded in the last few weeks, it's trading so strange. Like, I've been watching gold for 20 years. I trade it, you know, regularly. And the pattern of trading is like nothing I've ever seen before. In fact, if you look at the futures chart the last 2 weeks, we've basically been in a range between 1970 and about 2010. It's just been ping-ponging back and forth. And so news will come out, and news will be interpreted as bearish for gold. The price will drop $8 or $10, and it'll come right back. Or something will happen across the world, terror attack, war. Gold will spike to 2010 and then drop right back to 1995. And it's just this weird oscillation range near 2000, something like I've never seen before, like almost like it's a controlled market.
That's a hot topic here at this conference. That is a hot topic. But one of the panelists, I think on Wednesday, mentioned that 1975 seems to be the new floor. From a technical perspective, would that make sense?
Yeah,
fundamentally as
1970 to 1975 is a big layer of key support. would not want to see it break down under 1970 on a closing basis.
Well, today's Friday, which is also end of week, early in the month. So, but what does that tell you? Because like that move today in gold, like what pushed it over that $2,000 hurdle? Like
the employment data there? This morning came out and it was actually very weak. So 150K and the expectations were for positive 190,000, right? So it was a pretty big miss, and downward numbers for the prior 2 months. So total, the miss was negative 100,000 plus jobs, right? And the unemployment rate ticked up to 3.9%. By all accounts, we're probably going above 4% in the next couple of months. And the trend is clearly up. So the employment market is rebalancing. It's softening a bit. The Fed is done. I mean, I've been saying the Fed is done, I think, almost since we spoke in June in Vancouver, right? They did one hike, you know, in that period of time. But I think the Fed is definitely done now. I heard Powell speak on Wednesday. He basically, in his way, you know, without, you know, stating it clearly, yeah, they're done. So that has definitely helped the gold price.
Bond yields are another topic that might have driven gold price a little higher, or because it's that carry trade there as well. And we've seen a massive drop in bond yields, almost 50 basis points within the last 48 to 72 hours here. 10 years now at 4.5%, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
What is causing that? Like, is that, or is that even competition? Like, are the bonds back a safe haven investment here?
Yeah, everybody goes out.
I think with clear signs the economy is softening, which is very clear now, and Powell basically, you know, insinuating the Fed is done, that's what's caused this big move in the curve, right? And we got up to 5% on the 10-year about, you know, a week or so ago. That's a big level, obviously, and obviously that was a buying opportunity in bonds. It was they were extremely, extremely oversold, and so we've had a, you know, a bounce back.
Okay. So just short covering then? Or is that is there more to it?
No, I think there's some short covering, but I also think there's some long buying that people see value at those yields.
Okay. Where do you see things headed then? Like for the bonds, like are we going to see 2.5%, 3% again? Is that like how much fear is also priced into that, that you're actually not going to get your money back once those bonds mature?
Oh, well, that would be like the Armageddon case, right? You know, like the end of the world. Like, no, you're going to get your money back. The, you know, U.S. Treasury is going to pay you back. What those dollars are worth in terms of purchasing power, that's the question, right? And I think that's the question a lot of gold investors are concerned about, right? I don't think we're going to see yields back to 3% in you know, the next year, but I would say the Fed is going to cut 2, 3, maybe even 4 times in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So we will go lower in those yields. But it's a little more complicated than that because, you know, the yield curve could steepen a bit. You could have, you know, lower rates at the short end and higher, you know, at the long end. It's complicated. But just to, you know, simplify it, the fact the Fed is done and now we're going to be start to talk about cuts in the next maybe 3 months. We'll start to talking about when the timing of the first cut is. That's a tailwind for gold.
One theme at the conference here and in general is like everybody expects a recession or even worse, a market crash.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it hasn't happened yet for various reasons. We can go into those. But looking at where we're at, like, does the Fed have enough ammunition or opportunity or cushion to sort of soften that blow? I've been asking that other guests as well. Have they created enough like headway pretty much,
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, the economy is tanking here. We have the 5.5%. We can go maybe to 2 if we wanted to again rather quickly. Is that enough?
Yeah, and also they're doing quantitative tightening right now still. So they are actually still tightening. You know, just because they're holding the Fed funds rate at the same level for many months doesn't mean they're not tightening. They're still tightening. So they definitely do have room. They could stop the quantitative tightening. They could cut rates 100 points. And they could even hint at quantitative easing again. And that would be softening the blow quite a bit. So yeah, they've got a lot of room. And all of that room is rocket fuel for gold.
Have you followed the Q3 earnings reports from the large big box retailers or any of the other large major corporations in the U.S.?
I have followed some of them, yeah.
Just curious what some of the takeaways are, because it's something I wouldn't say I follow closely, but I keep an eye on. Like the Target CEO was on CNBC this week talking about how people are spending actually less money on food, which I think is a big, like,
we have that weight loss topic. Drug. We have that new weight loss drug.
Oh, that's why you don't need to buy any candy anymore.
You don't need to buy sugar or food.
Yeah.
No, but that's a real thing, because a lot of people are on this drug and they're not eating as much. And this is a problem for Coca-Cola and Target.
Well, United could actually save $80 million a year if more people were to take that drug.
Boom. So maybe that's our trade. We should short Coca-Cola and Pepsi and buy the, you know, airline stocks.
Yeah. Also Target and Walmart, because they have to reduce the candy aisle.
The thing with, you know, retail in the U.S. is it's very company specific. There are certain brands that are doing really well right now, and the economy is not affecting them that much. And there are other brands that have just fallen on their face, you know. So it's company by company. It's hard for me to just say one statement that would cover the whole sector. But we are seeing some signs of softening.
Interesting. How do you see the rest of the year play out? It's, we got six...
In the junior mining sector, or...?
Let's stay with the economy for now, and then we'll look at the mining space.
Well, in terms of the stock market, we've had a hell of a rally this week. We're very oversold last Friday. A lot of fears about Gaza and what the Israelis might do and who might jump into the conflict there, right? It seems that the worst case is off the table now for the time being. Things have calmed down a bit, even though obviously there's a lot of war in Gaza. It's not a pretty picture. But I think generally speaking, the market has some tailwinds here the last couple of months of the year. Generally, the market does well this month. Thanksgiving in the U.S., the holidays. I don't know what it is exactly, but people get a little happier around this time of year, right? They buy some stocks. I think gold is probably still range bound. I know that's not a very sexy forecast, but I don't see it going to 2100 here by the end of the year, but I also don't see it falling back to 1900. Knock on wood, as soon as you make a forecast, you're going to...
We're going to hold you to it, Robert. We're going to hold you to it.
But yeah, I think range bound, and I would love to see gold end the year right around 1990 or 2000, and then Q1 of next year, the Fed starts the hint about cutting, and boom, new highs. I mean, that would be my textbook.
So how does that translate to the junior mining sector? When do we see that trend change?
A lot of speakers here say we need the economy to go into a major downturn for the junior mining sector to do well. Yes, that's one way it could possibly happen, because then the Fed will be cut, the Fed would be cutting a lot more aggressively, and usually that's very positive for the, high risk, junior part of the sector. It's exceedingly difficult to time the sector, to time the, market more generally. I've been saying it's a buying opportunity for a few months. Generally speaking, I've been wrong. A lot of people have been trying to call a bottom on the sector, and they've been wrong. I think it's futile for me to say, I think it's going to bottom, this month, or we're in a bottoming process, and I'm buying the companies that I like, companies, that I'm excited about, and that's about all I can say. I'm long the sector. I've got quite a few bags in my portfolio, but I think that's how, that's just how it is. And one thing I would say, take away from this conference in this environment we're in, I think that this process that we're going through, this sort of bear market environment, is actually healthy for the sector longer term, because some companies that shouldn't be around, that just, they can't raise capital now, they're just kind of cockroaches that just hang around, and every time there's a little move up in the sector, they find a way to raise 500K or like $1 million. Well, I think those companies are pretty much done now, and it's time for them to fold up or get taken over by somebody else. So it's sort of a right sizing of the sector, and you're able to really see clearly the companies that can still raise capital, that investors have confidence in these teams. And those are the companies you want to stick with. The CEOs, the management teams with the good track records that have the financial backing.
Absolutely. And there are not too many around anymore.
No.
Which is It makes it really easy, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many stocks are on the venture total. I guess it's like 1,000.
It's 1,400.
Okay. Yeah. So probably 70 to 100 of those are actually really good companies. No. And then there's maybe another 200 that are just, you know, mediocre. And there's probably 1,000 that shouldn't even exist.
Yeah. I fully agree.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think that's a given, just walking around us.
Mm-hmm.
No, they shouldn't be walking around. So, fantastic. Robert, fantastic interview, fantastic conversation, very insightful. Really, really appreciate your time. It's great that you're here, that we ran into each other and get to catch up.
It's good to be an attendee and not have to speak, and I can just pay attention.
Soak it up, right? Yeah. You get to enjoy these fantastic presentations, yes. By the way. It's too bad I missed George Gamma this morning. And
that was a good presentation.
Peter Bookvar is on right now as well.
I got to run in there.
Yeah, it was usually really good content. So, Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in from the New Orleans Investment Conference. My name is Kai Hoffman, at JR Mining Guy on Twitter. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button as well. How do you see things playing out? Where is the Fed really, really done? Or do we see one or two more rate hikes? Really want to hear what you're saying and what you think and how it maybe correlates with the junior mining sector. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back with lots more.